school. It's about moving forward, and we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex. Rosalita's offers a full menu of both food and drinks. Try their signature tableside guacamole made right in front of you or piled high nachos. They have a full array of classic Mexican dishes and even more modern specialties, including their Cadillac fajitas. The house margaritas are the best in town, and the specialty margaritas will have you coming back time and time again. Visit Rosalita's Cantina at two convenient locations, downtown on Washington Avenue or on Manchester Road just west of 270.
Are you currently sideways with the IRS? Do you have years of unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night? Are you facing tax liens, bank levies, or wage garnishments? If so, you should contact former Department of Justice Tax Division attorney Mark Milton at stltaxlawyer.com. Mark Milton provides a local and holistic approach to tax resolution. Don't be sucked into the out-of-town tax resolution groups you hear on the TV and radio. Mark lives and works right here in the Kirkwood area. If you have IRS problems, visit stltaxlawyer.com today.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision. It should not be based solely on advertising.
In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular scheduled roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Far away from this life that you're living, you'll find a whole new beginning. Rediscover your family, show them you care for the rest of your life. You gotta be there.
Russ Patton, your Byerly RV financial advisor. With the stock market gyrating precariously, we recommend diversification by turning your paper profits into something tangible, like that RV you've been dreaming about. Or you can hedge your bets by playing the spread and converting just enough cash to make a healthy down payment. And win either way. Disclaimer, plan fund is no guarantee of future fund if your paper profits disappear overnight.
For the rest of your life,
Byerly Trading.
For the rest of your life,
Byerly Trading.
Rediscover your family, show them you care
for the rest of your life. You gotta be there.
Check us out at ByerlyRV.com. Eureka, Missouri.
Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. During winter months, furnace heat can cause your home to be drier than the Sahara Desert. Low humidity can cause painful dry skin, itchy eyes, and sore throats. And dry air can warp and crack the woodwork and hardwood floors in your home and give you those annoying static shocks. I had Design Air install a humidifier in my home this winter and already noticed an improvement. Contact Design Air, the official HVAC provider of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, to find out more about adding a humidifier to your home.
This Saturday, Arch Madness is coming to 590 The Fan.
Three, got it, swished it home, and the Bears up 12-2.
Beginning at 2:15, the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament semifinals will tip off. The Valley's automatic bid is up for grabs, and Saturday's doubleheader will set up the winner-take-all matchup.
NBA 3 buries it from the left wing.
It's the Valley, this Saturday on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Nothing is more important to me than family, and a business that treats me like family is crucial, which is why Neustetter's Fine Jewelers is special. Whether it's an engagement ring or a new watch, they will offer their expertise and advice to help you make the best choice for your loved ones. Check them out at wowdiamonds.com.
I just mentioned the Limey off the air. Dan, I think I have a good name for your band. You know, you're not quite the level of ZZ Top. You could have called it YY Top. You know,
YY.
Not quite ZZ.
Yeah.
But you're not really, that's not your music. How would you tell people, what do you tell people you play in your band? What kind of music?
Classic rock mostly, but we do some classic rock, some country, some southern rock. Things like that.
I found it interesting that classic rock was even a genre, because it's not.
Yeah. Well, back then,
oldies,
it was just rock.
Classic rock and oldies are two different things.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, like you can't mix them, because if you mix them, ooh, the program directors go crazy at radio stations.
Oh, my goodness.
You
no.
can't play Elvis. He's not classic rock.
We play we play a song by Ace. Remember Ace? It goes, doom. How long has this been going?
I know
on?
That song, yeah.
Yeah, we play that song. We play
I would
Marshall.
Never have known that's the name of the group. I would have thought, how long has this been? I would have thought that would have been a more familiar name of a group. I didn't know that you did that song.
Yeah, and then we do some Marshall Tucker. Of course, we do some Johnny Cash. We do The Band.
Mm.
I love that. And we do lots of others. Lots of
do any traveling Wilburys or Maverick or any of that Mavericks? Any of that stuff?
No, but we have toyed with the idea, so we may. We just throw stuff out, especially when we practice.
And there's certain songs I bet you can't do because only the artist that made it popular can perform it. Anybody else, it just sounds horrible. I'll give you an example. Most of Dwight Yoakam's stuff he needs to do. Because anybody else doing it, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
To me. And there are a couple artists like that. Kenny Rogers. Try to sing a Kenny Rogers song. They're very difficult. They're specifically selected for his range, and they're hard for most other people, at least most of them, to sing.
Yeah.
Stick with me, buddy. I know some stuff about
all
music.
Right.
Okay, I don't know anything
you
about
bet.
Music. Let me take a moment here to change where you do your banking, if you'd allow me to at least try to do that, or at least give you some reasons why. I told you my son just refinanced his house. I think they're actually in the process of putting the paperwork together with First Community Credit Union, because he got a 30. I called him this morning and said, was it 15 or 30? And I was right. I guessed that it was 30. 2.75% for a 30-year mortgage rate. That's a great rate. I called another friend of mine who's sort of in the loan business, and I said, you guys, can you touch that? And he said, no, we can't. He said, I'll just tell you, we can't. I don't exactly know how they do that, but we can't touch 2.75. My daughter and her, you still call him a new husband. They got married in October. They're expecting a child. They're looking. They live with us now, but they're starting to look. They have their first appointment. In fact, I think it was today. I need to call her tonight and see how that went. They looked at their first home today. They went to First Community and got a pre-approval, which is a great thing to get because it tells the seller they don't have to sit around and worry that, oh, there's a contingency on them getting the loan, and then they dunce around and 30 days go by, and then they find out, oh, well, they made this offer and we accepted it, but they can't get approved. Pre-approval's a great idea. So they went over and had a meeting with, I think Joy was her name, First Community Credit Union, got their pre-approval, and now they can go house shopping. They made it clear to the realtor, here's our price range. But the point here is First Community Credit Union. When I say they are very competitive with rates, this is exactly what I'm talking about. It's tough to beat the rates at First Community Credit Union, whether you're borrowing money or saving money, and whether the money you're borrowing is for a car or a house. Now remember that all of this, I think, is always contingent to some degree on your credit history and how much your debt load is, you know, what else are you making payments on. That all enters into it, but all things equal, you're going to be hard pressed to find anybody who can touch First Community Credit Union's rates. So if rates are important to you, and they should be, and if they're not, you must really have a lot of money and you just don't care. But to most people it is important, because obviously that's what's going to determine what your house payment is for the next several years. First Community Credit Union, when we say it's a great place to bank, rates is just one reason why. And I hope you have a chance to discover all the others. But to do that, you need to become a member. We're called members, not customers. And I've been doing all of my banking there, my wife and I have, for years now. And look, we're happy. We're very happy with the way they do pretty much everything they do. I certainly don't use all their services. I don't need all their services. But like most of you, you know, we have checking and a little savings account and a, you know, debit card and a credit card. And we had car loan. Do I have a car loan presently? We're car loan free, debt free, car wise. But when we did, yeah, it was the First Community Credit Union. So please take a closer look at them if you would. And you know what to do. Tell them you're AM in the PM. Over 40 locations, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. And if you'd like to know more, here's their website. It's an easy one, firstcommunity.com.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you any harm, but I simply couldn't make it on the farm.
Scott Sherman is here, and a couple of smart people are already on hold. That means there is one line open. And here are the numbers. If you need help, free advice, free help from a real attorney. That's hard to come by, but not here. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. I understand we've had some equipment that's overheated, so we are not able to activate the microphone in the annex where thousands of people are listening who can't get into the studio and normally would applaud the introduction of Scott Sherman. So let's just, we'll bypass that till the equipment cools down and say, Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
Fantastic. You want to jump right in? I got to tell you, last week was one of the most eye-opening, interesting, educational segments we've ever had, and that's all I'm going to say. For people who missed it, you should have been here. You should have been listening. It was beyond interesting because of one particular caller. We'll have another informative and interesting segment today, I'm sure. One more time, quickly, phone numbers 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Let's start with Jack. Jack, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, how's it going?
Doing terrific, Jack. How are you?
Good. I have some on this day in history for the crew.
Well, this is a segment where you ask Scott legal questions.
Oh.
Do you need some legal help?
No, but I do have a joke / sponsor plug.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, why did the chicken cross the road?
No, that's not a joke to me. That's a riddle, like a child's riddle. But go ahead. There are about 100 answers to this, by the way. What's yours?
To open an account at First Community Credit Union.
I like it. I like that one. That's a good one. I like the punchline especially. See, our microphone is equipment is overheated, so we can't access the annex microphone. What else did you have, Jack?
Nothing else.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
Appreciate
that's
it.
That's right. Maybe next time. Thank you, Jack.
We'll see Jack Saturday. Jack is our intern on the yard sale, Frank.
Oh. And
your
oh,
biggest
I didn't know that.
If there is a ceiling on fandom, the top, he is a huge fan of yours. He loves
Jack should
you.
Know. He should know. This is the legal advice segment. But that's okay. He worked in a sponsor mention, so he's okay
right.
with me.
That's right.
That Jag just left another line open, 314-821-0590, 855-282-8255. Richie, you're up. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Richie. How are you?
Not bad. I'm AM in the PM.
That's a good way to be.
Yep.
And we don't have Alleluia because our equipment overheated. Limey, you'll let us know when that stuff comes back around.
As soon as possible, I promise.
All right. Okay. And I just ordered my siding from Window World yesterday.
We have more applause, but again, the annex microphone is not accessible. Here. And I feel hold weird on. That he said yep. his name in the PM. Can we just all sing?
Hallelujah.
Way to go, Jack.
And that. Richie, would you say it again? Just say your AM in the PM again.
I am AM in the PM.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew, that was horrible, but better than nothing. What do you have, Richie?
Well, I got some basement work done. They actually advertise on your old station.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having some issues.
Well,
that's why.
So, exactly. we had a bunch of work done, and we thought our downstairs beam was leaking water, so they went ahead and sealed the beam. We had to get some plate anchors put in the basement, so then we had another company come over and fix the problem they did not fix, which I won't say the companies.
Thank you.
But they basically determined that the other company did everything wrong.
Mm.
So when they, for instance, when they fixed our beam wasn't leaking. The water was coming above the foundation. So the other company had to come out and do something totally different. So I guess we spent about $8,000 with the other company. I know we won't capture all our money back, but is it worth going to, like, small claims court, or what are our options without spending a bunch of money on an attorney?
Right. Not my first reaction to this is it is sometimes the case where a second company comes in, and no matter what the first one did, they go, well, they didn't know what they were doing, and we do.
Right.
In this case, I happen to believe you sound like, you know, like you're obviously legitimate, and I'm guessing that the second company actually fixed the problem where the first one didn't.
And
you can see the evidence that they were right.
Yes, let me give you one example. We got 6 plate anchors put in our basement.
Now, see, what does that mean, plate anchor? What is that?
So an anchor, they basically put one anchor inside your foundation and then another anchor like 10 feet outside, and it keeps your wall from moving.
Okay.
So they put these plate anchors in, and they said, oh, you don't ever have to tighten these bolts. You know, they're tightened for life. They'll hold the wall. Well, when the other company came in, and this happened yesterday, I said, hey, could you just see if those bolts are tight? They had to torque down and tighten every single bolt.
Wow. Well, wow, Scott, you can take it. Sounds to me like, yes, they're absolutely, because it also sounds to me like that this guy, you know, Richie here, has, I'm sure, paperwork, evidence, statements from the second company that would back up what he's saying that the first one didn't do. What do you think, Scott?
I think it's a combo plate of litigation, and I don't want to discourage people as a general rule from small claims court, but I do. On this case, both in the amount of the damages that Richie and his family have incurred.
It's too big for small claims.
Yes, both in value and in need for experts to say that the work that was done improperly. So I think, and I share your concern about how, you know, spending more money on lawyers than this thing is worth, I think you've got a two-prong attack against the first company. One, breach of contract. They didn't do what you contracted with them to do, which was to fix the problems that you were having in the first place. They either didn't know what they were doing, they put the wrong solution to the problem, or they didn't fix the problem by doing the work properly. The second is, because they advertised, and I won't ask you, but I'll just say this. If you relied in large measure or mainly on the advertisement of that company for the reason that you hired them, then you could also have a Missouri or Illinois Merchandise Practices Act case against that company saying, look, you deceived me. You came on the air and said, you're the greatest. You can do all this. I relied on that, and you suck. And because you suck, you're not just bad at this, breach of contract, but you need to pay my attorney's fees, because that's a provision in the MMPA or the ILPA that ILMPA that you can get. So what I would like you to do is consider talking to a few lawyers that will not require you to give them a big retainer. Maybe they'll do a combo, some retainer, some contingency, or they might like the idea of the MMPA or ILMPA to get attorney's fees back. If you're interested in a couple of people that I think are really good at this kind of construction law case, send me an email. I'll give you their names. You kick the tires on them. But I will tell you this. The key element is what Frank said. Is the second company saying that because they wanted to fix the work and badmouth the other guy, or did they really say, hey, look, Richie, come over here and look at this garbage, and this is a waste of money? So if that's the case, let me know.
Well, One quick thing. The company actually that we hired the second time did not determine that the work was shoddy until they were done with their job.
Okay.
So the other company actually did. And I talked to the, I guess, the superintendent or what they call, and he was telling me this morning, oh, the bolts only loosen in the summer if it gets real hot.
Huh?
I don't even want to deal with them anymore.
And I
already got into it with the owner once.
The owner of company number one.
Yes, right. And I'm sure you know which company it is. Cause
I have a good idea.
There's only one basement company that...
Their jingle is an earworm. But don't... Let's not.
Exactly.
But let's do this. Send me an email.
Okay.
And I'll send you to people that are construction law, breach of contract, consumer law people. And you talk to them about if they can help you and if that's a decision you feel comfortable with. But
okay.
No
and
small claims court. It's a waste
right.
of time.
Another little tidbit, and I know Frank doesn't know, but I work with Matt Grover in the day.
That's a great man.
Well, I met Matt.
He said he did a wonderful job helping him with that speeding ticket.
Well, that's the highest compliment. That's the first compliment I've
done. All right, and you guys know which ticket I'm talking about.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Richie,
well,
here's what we need.
Didn't they buy some women's underwear in his car? So I don't know what was going on.
Richie, here's what we really need to know, if you know, and that is Scott's email address.
You know what? I do know it, but I
chicken
don't
butt, 5 cents a cut, dipped in grease, one
piece.
And I apologize, but I've been on his website, so.
So you know how to get to it.
Yes, sir.
Give it out anyway, Scott, for everybody else.
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Ding! There you go.
All right.
There you go. All right, Richie. Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate you listening.
Well, we're not listening. Oh, to you, we're listening. Yeah,
right.
You're listening to us. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Richie.
You have a great
Thanks
show,
for calling,
Richie.
Richie.
You have a great
we
show,
never, you know, we, that's something we never hear. Appreciate you listening. We don't hear that from other people. We don't hear people say that to us. That's different. Let's a line open because Richie has completed his business. You could jump in on that line if you want. Hit these numbers, 314-821-0590. If that's busy, jump on this one, 855-282-8255. Mike, you're next. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, we appreciate you calling and listening.
Hey, Scott. How enforceable are non-compete contracts?
Frank loves these.
This is such a good one. You know this better
than anyone I know.
Well, here's the thing. It depends on lots of things, Mike.
Sure,
how long is the non-compete period?
Ding.
I think a year.
A year, too long. Do you have... And I'm guessing you do some sort of a contract with the company you either are or were working for before you changed.
I lost it. I mean, I don't know. 15 years ago, I'm not even thinking I'm quitting. I was just kind of curious, you know, what would happen if I'm older now, I got let go, or you know.
But there is a contract. You know, there's one. You just don't have a copy of it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, so lawyers have looked at it.
When I first signed it, and they said it's a help. That's the same thing he would write up, and he came from a big law firm in the city, so I think he knew what he was talking about.
Okay, but you haven't seen it for 15 years. The first thing I'd do is ask for a copy of it, because your employer has a copy of it. Have you already left the job?
No, I'm not even thinking about quitting. I like my job. I'm just kind of driving home, listening to you guys, and you know, all these guys always kick that around, wondering how enforceable that is. You know,
I'll turn it over to Scott, but here's what it depends on one, how it's written, the wording, how it's written, how it's constructed, the kind of business you're in, whether or not it's even fair that you keep a guy from making a living or a woman from making a living. If the way it's written is just completely off the charts and unacceptable, a lot of times they do not hold up. Sometimes they do. I think a year seems excessive to me, Scott.
Yeah, Frank's right about the analysis here. In I don't know if it's in Missouri or in Illinois, but it's the key element is reasonableness as to time.
Well, I'll give
you
an example real quickly. Here's a quick example that I'll just throw out there. It's Mike, right? Mike, if the contract said, if you leave us, and let's say you're in sales, you can't have any sales job selling anything for a year. That's insane, okay? It needs to be something that would somehow jeopardize their business or future business. So it depends on the wording of it and what it says you can't do. Now, go ahead,
Scott. Yeah, as to scope, time, and geography, distance, all that has to be reasonable. I'll give you a sort of a rule of thumb here. A year is inside the reasonableness, but not much more than that. 2 years would be outside of that, around these parts. It's the geography edge. Is, you know, if it's 5 miles and you're a hairstylist and in a 5 mile radius of Ladue, you're not going to get the kind of clients that you would get within that. That probably is out of bounds. So it depends, like Frank said, on the industry you're talking about. If you're a salesperson and it, you know, prevents you from any sales, that's the scope is too big. Or if it says you can't compete in the restaurant equipment sales business for a year, how many other restaurant equipment sales companies are there? You could get locked out. So within scope, time, and distance, I don't think time on the year knocks you out, but get a copy of it, and for, you know, a couple of $100, have somebody look at it, if you care, to see if you did pull the ripcord on it, what your options were. Even if you're not considering leaving, it's always nice to know where the landmines are.
Sometimes, but it's written up too, Scott, isn't it, where it says you are prohibited from doing business with any of our existing clients. In other words, it isolates and limits it to making sure you don't steal current business for them. Otherwise, knock yourself out.
That's right. And one thing that goes to every single contract that anybody has signed, especially on an employment contract, when it's drafted by somebody else, ambiguities or questions about what the language means or what this means are construed against the person that wrote it. So the benefit of the doubt, the tie goes to the runner, the tie goes to the reader, the tie goes to the signer. So just because it says something, if you don't know exactly what that means, or a reasonable person, regular person reading it for the first time, you could win on what looks like an ironclad deal if the language is confusing or ambiguous. So don't think just because it says something that A, it's enforceable because of scope, distance, and time on reasonableness, or just because somebody wrote it, that their lawyers know what they're doing. There are fancy pants law firms in this town and every town that screw these things up all the time. But if you don't have a copy of it, you have no idea what it says, and I'd have a lawyer look at it just to make sure in case you are making a move.
Okay.
Thank you very much, fellas.
Mike, thank you. Yeah, non-competes, the interesting about non-competes is when somebody's offered a new job, and let's say it's a significant increase in salary, there are a lot of people who are just going, I'll sign it, whatever. They all they're thinking about is now, benefits, vacation, pay, opportunity. They don't think about the repercussions of signing that thing down the road, because down the road is, that's 15 years from now. Comes around quicker than you realize. And before that 15 years, it's interesting to know exactly what it says in terms of how you can and can't get out of that, not just non-competes when you do.
And one last thing that's more practical than legal is this. Everything's negotiable. So if you have a non-compete and somebody else wants you really bad, maybe they can buy your way out of it. Or, you know, you give the old place a couple grand, it's gone. Or they'll waive it. There are ways to do it, but don't leap and break these things with A, without having it, B, without having it looked at, and C, without looking to see if there are options that can save you from the consequences of breaking it.
All right, let's go to Mary. Mary, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm so happy that you are taking my call. I did some work for a law firm in Kansas City the first week in December, and they haven't paid me yet, and they are ignoring my emails, my phone calls, and my correspondence. I've done work for them in the past, and they were a little slow pay, but they paid within a reasonable time. This time, they're just not paying. What can I do?
Did they respond to your emails? In other words, letting you know for a fact they did receive them?
No. No.
Okay. One, you aren't positive they even got your, I guess, invoices they would be. Could have gone into a spam file. They could have changed it. My point is this. The first and most important thing to me would be that you have some sort of proof that they, in fact, received your invoice, that telling them, here, you owe me money. We don't know that they did. They may pretending. Maybe they're acting like they didn't. What kind of work was it, can I ask?
It was legal work. Local
that you'd done for them before? Same company?
That's right. That's right.
When you did it before, were you dealing with the same person in accounting that you're dealing with now? Or somebody different
yes.
in there?
Well, no, it's the same person.
Scott, this is a well, very what puzzles me is that she hasn't had any correspondence back saying, hey, we're in receipt of your invoice, we'll be on it, that we don't even know they got it.
I'm glad that you drilled down a little bit about the type of work, because I was thinking, is this, you know, was this sort of court reporting work, or was it, you know, independent contractor legal research or paralegal work, or were you more of an employee of theirs that they let go? Because there are two ways to approach it. If it's an employee situation, it doesn't sound like it, you can send a certified letter and say, look, I have unpaid wages and you owe me this, and if not, I stay on the payroll for 60 or 90 days. But if it's a contractor to a subcontractor, I would scan the invoice and email it to whoever is in payroll with a copy of it to all four or five people on the top of the letterhead. Hey, this has been unpaid. What is your answer to this? Because it would be an embarrassment to the people, somebody on that letterhead, that your invoice, which you are entitled to be paid, may end up causing them to be sued over. I mean, if they don't pay you, you should do that. So,
ma'am, can I ask you a question? How much was it for?
Well, it was for $690.
Well, the good news is, I've been through this before as a contractor who didn't get paid. The good news is that the crime, if you sue them, occurred where you are, not where they are, so you get to sue them in St. Louis County Court and not have to sue them over there.
That's great.
Mary, is there anybody there you have any sort of personal relationship with where you could pick up the phone and call them? Somebody in that firm you dealt with before saying, hey, can you help me figure out what's going on here and what the holdup is? Is there somebody you could call?
I've called them many times, and every time I call, I get a recording. No one is available to answer your call right now. Please leave a message, and we'll call you back.
And they don't call you back.
No.
Send. I think you should scan the invoice and send it to your contact person, then on their website, or find the emails to those principals that are on the letterhead and see if you get a response. If you don't get a response in a week, send me an email. I got somebody that thinks that this would be fun.
But Frank made a good point, though. I mean, this actually happened to me today. If her invoices are going into their spam folder and they haven't been invoiced, shouldn't she send the certified letter right away?
It's not going to go into the spam folder of every person that's there on the letterhead. Or if it does, you know, a lawyer could then send a letter. I think what Mary is after here is, correct me if I'm wrong, there is no earthly reason for them to duck you unless there's a problem at that law firm.
Two things that say they're ducking are, one, no response to the email, and two, she's called and left a message, somebody call me, and they don't call her back. They're dodging her.
January of 2020, they were calling her, hiring to hire her. So, you know, scan the invoice and send it to, I say, whoever your contact person is, and every one of the principals, if you can find their email on their website that are on the top of the letterhead, and either you're going to find out that they are embarrassed and are going to deal with this, or they imploded and their law firm just kind of blew up. But that doesn't seem likely, the second one.
Here's the other thing that I read, Mary, in your voice.
Yes.
You're not a combative, confrontational person, okay? You're not a fighter. Right. You're not a person that likes to get into it with people, and they probably know that. And maybe they're running a little bit lean, and they're going to push some bills off for three or four months. And yours is going to be one of them because they're not afraid of you. And they figure, nice little Mary, she'll wait, and eventually we'll get her paid.
But give them 1 week, not forever. And next Thursday, if they don't respond to you in some way at all, send me an email, and we'll send them a letter. Screw it. We'll send it Priority Express, and it'll be delivered, and we'll find out. Or I'll call somebody in Kansas City, and they'll go knock on their door and find out what the hell's going on out there. Because this happens. Frank, you're right. It happens. Look, I'm going to say it right now. There are invoices on things for depositions and other stuff in my office that I probably don't pay as fast as I should. And the more I think about it, I kind of feel lousy about that. But at least I talk to these people, and I don't dodge them, and I pay them. This sounds like they are treating you unfairly. And it's not just the money. It's the fact that they're just kind of being lousy to you. And that's not cool. You're very nice. I'm sure you did great work, and they've got a benefit out of it.
That's insulting because they're basically saying that they really don't care about your feelings or whether or not you get paid on time. Nice Mary will just wait. She'll wait and we'll get to her eventually. That's insulting. So if you want Scott to shoot them a letterhead and their attorneys, that'll get their attention. Right. Do you have Scott's email address?
It's lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
That's exactly what it is.
Now, Mary, I don't owe you any money, right?
No, you don't owe
me any
good.
Money. Okay, good. Thank you. I was worried.
Not yet.
Not yet.
All right, Mary, you're maybe too nice, but there are worse things to be than too nice. So shoot him an email. He'll help you out.
A lot.
Yeah, I'm sure you
I
do. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Mary.
Goodbye.
Do you ever hear a voice that sound like a nicer person?
Yeah, I think that's the issue.
That's the issue here. I'm serious.
I could see what she looks like without seeing what she looks like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no offense, law firms are the worst pay in the history of my existence of what I do. It's to the point where I have to ask them for a retainer up front, because especially out-of-state firms, if you don't have a personal rapport with them, they will delay until the cows come home. It's
but
awful.
You better pay them.
Oh, no doubt.
You better pay them. Let's go to Brian. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Good. AM and a PM.
Thank you.
I had one all ready to go.
Our equipment cooled down. Woo, all right. Thank goodness.
All right. I think this is a pretty common sense question, but the town I live in, we got buildings on the square. They're, you know, those whole buildings are, you know, wall to wall connected. Long story short, if two of the buildings burn, whose insurance takes care of the other building where the building started? The one that where it started at takes care of both places, right?
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah. I think the liable party would ultimately be responsible through their insurance for paying the damage to the other adjacent businesses. The problem in reality is the delay. Unless you get a fire crew that gives a report that says, this is exactly how it started, this is where it started, this is how it started, and the insurance company for the tenant or the occupant of that space says, you know what, you're right. The one whose building, whose business or whose stuff burned but doesn't get that response right away is going to have to go through their insurance and then subrogate. And that ultimately will take a lot longer than just everybody agreeing. So in the end, it is the responsible building occupant or that part of it that is on the hook. But if there's common HVAC or common electrical or something that's outside of those units where it's really it just happened to have in that part of the building and the occupant has no responsibility for that part of the building, like the outside of the roof, then it would come onto the building owner's insurance. So you've got occupants and you've got owners. If it's inside versus outside, and I took a simple question and made it complicated, but That's kind of how
that's
it
what the insurance companies are going to do. They're going to take a simple
question. Oh, yeah, I get that. It's a small town, and nobody wants to ruffle anybody's feathers. But I should have stopped you a long time ago and told you, here's the deal. We've got the fire report on everything, and it says it started in our ceiling, the peak of our roof, but the building adjacent to it is where it began from a junction box, electrical junction box.
That building's owner's insurance is on the hook because that junction box is not on your property. And it was the cause of what happened to your building. So when you say adjacent, you're talking about a big block brick building where there's multiple occupants or stores of different kinds, or is there a separation like an alley or something between the building?
No.
All right, they're all just like one big old turn-of-the-century brick building.
It's an old town square, and all of us are adjacent to each other, blah, blah, blah. But it's just, we figured that, but I said, nobody wants to ruffle anybody's feathers.
He who burns it buys it, and everyone has insurance. So I would say if you're getting a pushback, if you made a claim through your insurance, whether they ruffle feathers or not, they're going to subrogate. That's the word. Go after the insurer for the responsible party. That way, it may take a while. You may have a deductible held, but you will eventually, your insurer will get their money back without you having to go person to person in the town. So, yes, the junction box building owner is responsible.
I figured out we've already got paid and everything.
Cool.
But what makes me mad is we're going to have a claim now if we don't fight this, right?
You need
to go on our record.
Yeah, tell your insurer, your adjuster, to subrogate against the other insurance company. That way you get your fingerprints off of it, they get their money back, and having a claim that's not your fault is a lot better than having a claim that is your fault. And you can get your deductible. Was your deductible like $1,000?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember.
If that's determined between the insurance companies, and a lot of them do subrogation not with lawsuits but with arbitration, and they do it themselves. If they get paid back, your insurer, you will get your $1,000 or a percentage of that $1,000 back, and then you're all square like it never happened.
Okay.
All right. I figured it. That's the way it goes, but I wanted to hear from somebody there. Really knows what they're talking about and go from there, so I appreciate it.
All right, Brian, thank you for listening. We appreciate that, okay?
Hey, Frank?
Yes, sir.
I'm still trying to get my wife the AM and the PM, too, so there you go.
You know what, Brian? Sometimes people are lost causes, and you may have to seriously consider meeting a good divorce attorney. You don't want to be married to a woman who will not convert and become AM and the PM. You're going to be living in hell for the rest of your life. You need to give that some thought. She either comes around, you say, woman, here's how I'd handle it. Listen to me, woman. You either become AM and the PM or you become homeless. Your choice.
Mm. Or I'm going to get Scott's Gmail if she don't become AM and the PM. There you go.
Okay. There you go. Thank you, Brian.
All right, have a good day, everybody. Thank you.
I'm amazed at the men who still don't know how to keep a marriage together. Interesting. Sam is next. Sam, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman. Hi, Frank. Hi, gang.
Hello, Sam.
Hello, Sam.
I'm AM in the PM.
There you go.
Your call earlier about the no complete clauses triggered a question that I have. I'm on the other side of that fence a little bit. I'm a small business owner. I'm a service company.
Oh, easy.
Excuse me.
You okay?
I'm fine. It all came up in the one hack there.
Okay, good. Good.
I'm a small business owner. I own a small service company. We're a union shop. We do both commercial and residential work. I bought the company about 8 years ago. One of the techs I'm talking about I inherited, and about 3 years or 2 years after we've been in business, we brought another tech in and trained him from apprenticeship. About a year and a half ago, these two fellows had a lot of our commercial accounts. They left our shop and stole all the commercial accounts for a new shop that they started. I suspect there's nothing I can do now. Another aspect to it is that in retrospect, it was obvious that they had started the shop before they had left my service and were actually even putting stickers from their new company on to equipment that they were servicing while I was paying them.
How long ago was that?
It was about a year and a half ago. It started August of 18.
So I missed the very beginning. I got distracted by a text in the beginning. Do these guys have some sort of contract with you?
They were a union shop, so they were just union technicians working at my shop. One was at the shop when I bought the shop. One was a fellow that we had brought in as an apprentice and trained him, from the start.
Well, it sure seemed the most disturbing part of this to me is that they stuck stickers for what was going to be their competing company on job sites while they were working for you. Now, I don't know exactly what tortious interference of conducting business is, but this sounds like tortious interference of conducting business. Frank, am I close?
Frank, I wrote down one note after I took down Sam's name in non-compete in tech. I wrote tortious interference of business.
Bingo!
Look at there. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, there's
ready
two things.
For the bar
there
exam.
Two things on this, Sam. One, was there a collective bargaining agreement between your company and the union reps or the union employees?
Yes.
Okay. Have you had anybody review that, your lawyers, to see if there was a non-compete that the union had agreed to as part of the CBA?
We have not, but I would be surprised if that language was in there because it's common for have men that move around a lot.
Understood. This tortious interference with a business opportunity, torts are actionable harms that are not criminal. So if I go out and I drive my car and I go through a red light and I hit somebody and I hurt them, they can sue me. That's the tort of negligence. Here, this is more intentional than negligent. Tortious means harmful. It can be intentional, like you can punch somebody in the face. That's a tort. This seems to be an intentional interference with your customers. These guys had a plan by putting stickers on other equipment while they still work for you without permission, and you can sue them, the company can sue these people for stealing your clients away, your customers away, even though it's not in the CBA. There's also not in the CBA that they can't, you know, come in and burn the place to the ground. I mean, that would be arson. That would also be tortious. So I would have your lawyers, the company's lawyers, look into the possibility of suing this new outfit or these people for planning and intentionally going after your customers while they work there.
This is unbelievable. So, it's just theft.
And it's intentional. And here's the beautiful thing about intentional torts. You can be awarded, unlike most negligence cases, attorney's fees and also punitive damages. You can not only get the money for the lost business, potentially, but also punishment damages that can be up to 10 times the actual damages, and your attorney's fees, which can be even more than that. So I would not just let it go, but I would talk to your lawyers and say, what can we do about these fools that did this? And if there's something else we can do, which is put into our CBA, I don't know when your CBA is up, about non-competes or about this kind of stuff to see if...
We are absolutely out of time. Here's the deal. Yes, go after these pieces of crap. And scare them to death.
Interference with business opportunity.
Sam, do you have Scott's email address?
I do. It's lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
And I'll give you some really, really tough business lawyers on this.
All right. Thank you, Sam. Go after them. Burn them.
It would be difficult for me to prove it, but...
Okay.
Well, I don't know why, but if they put stickers of their own company on job sites that were yours, that doesn't sound... You obviously know that happened somehow. Did a customer tell you that?
Well, my techs were out. I had, techs that replaced them were out.
All right, we're beyond out of time.
All right.
Shoot Scott an email. Good luck with this. Go after him, okay?
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Again, next Thursday, we have a deal, an appointment. Let's make it now. Thursday, done. Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you, Frank.
We'll be back next Thursday for those of you who didn't get in. Wow, that went fast. All right, stick around. We got stuff, Playhouse, and everything adjacent to it. It is 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
Tune in Saturday at 2:15 for the Missouri Valley Conference semifinals.
590 KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. The coronavirus continues to shake.